And the symbols of Passover, they, you know, they're so important for us today. That's why I really hate the thought of some folks that we would just leave this to the past or leave it just to the Israelites. This is for the church. And all of these are built to help us encounter Jesus. For this section, we're going to talk about two aspects, the water and the bread. The Old Testament priests had this elaborate bathing process to become clean so they could serve. The law said the unclean had to stay separate from everyone else. Well, the priests thought that the laws meant that they were better than others and too clean to touch the unclean and hurting people.
Right.
But the washing was actually a shadow of the Messiah who would touch us to make us all clean. Who knew? The Bible said Jesus got up from the Passover meal, poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet. Now, of course, Peter protests for several reasons, but mostly he's confused. Washing hands there is not only traditional, it's logical. You're about to touch the food. Jesus is about to touch the food and serve it. You need clean hands. But Jesus was much more concerned with teaching them a profound truth. He was showing that being clean or holy enables you to serve the unclean and hurting. Jesus was the meal, after all. He was the water. He was what it was all about. God serving fallen man, rescuing, redeeming, becoming their Passover. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." In Jerusalem, at Passover time, Jews got ceremonially clean. They fixed up the roads. They whitewashed the tombs to prevent travelers from seeking shelter in a cave that was really a tomb. Coming in contact with a dead body would make people ceremonially unclean. You have to wait a whole month before you can celebrate Passover. Psalm 24 says this, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." Now, besides the water, there's the unleavened bread, the matzah. Now, there's three matzahs that are stacked together. The middle matzah is removed and broken. A larger piece is wrapped up and hidden. It's called the afikomen. Now, that's a Greek word. They think it means he is coming. It's interesting that it's the only Greek word in a Jewish Seder, and no one knows where it came from historically.
And for kids growing up in a Jewish house, the only part of the Seder that we cared about, because there was a prize if you found it.
Woohoo! And it is. It's very cool. It's a lot of fun if you have kids in the house. It makes the Passover Seder fun if you get to tell them about Jesus, of course, but all they get is the afikomen and a prize. Why are there three matzahs? Well, it's a picture of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Son left heaven, was broken, buried, and then rose again alive. Whoever finds him or asks Jesus to forgive them and come in to live in their heart, they receive a great reward, eternal life in heaven. That's what the afikomen's about. But see, they get so close, so close. Well, we single out that middle piece of bread because Jesus was foreordained to die for us. We break it because he was broken for us. We hide it because he was buried with our sin. We bring it out later because he rose again.
Okay, so I don't mean to interrupt.
No,
but this was something that I sat through, probably conscious of, from the age of 4 to the age of 45. and missed every time why we were doing those things.
And see, if you don't tell them, you wouldn't know. And see, Jesus was, he'd given this for how many years? That's 3,500 years he gave him this so that they would get it, so they would see him. But if you don't look, you don't see him. Mm-hmm. But see, we hide him because he was buried with our sin. They didn't expect that. We bring him out later because he rose again. Mm-hmm. And they didn't expect that. Even the disciples were confused. We eat it before the third cup of wine or juice because he was 3 days in the grave. And we eat it because you must accept Jesus in your life to be saved all the time. The afikomen, that's what it's about. You know, another symbol is salt. Salt preserves, it purifies, and we are the salt. Jesus is the bread. You see, we have a part in this. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Now, that's a hard concept for the modern people, but if you get it, you're the salt, Jesus is the bread. Have you ever noticed that when you add a little salt to bread, it just brings it out, it brings out the flavor, brings out everything? You can make Jesus seem tasteless to people by your lack of saltiness. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Why do we ask God for grace and grace and grace and grace? So we can extend grace. You've got to extend grace, especially with your lips. Otherwise, you make Jesus a seem tasteless. By our traditions, Jesus said, we make the word of God powerless. That ought to be a verse that reverberates in our soul. The symbol of Passover, the greatest symbol, is the lamb. And it's a reminder of the Passover lamb. We've got a long way to go still, but we're going to jump into the second cup, the plagues and iniquity. We're going to go to Egypt and take a look at that and then look at the end times and what that means for us.